Do you ever feel like life is a battle? Do you ever feel like it's a battle just to keep on good terms with members of your family? To keep on good terms with your partner? Do you feel it's a battle just trying to bring up your children? Do you feel it's a battle to not get anxious about money or about your health? Do you ever feel like life's a battle just not to get angry with those who are close to you? Or sad about the circumstances you're in? The reason we so often feel like life is a battle is because life is a battle. The reason we feel like we're in a war is because we are in a war. Life is war. You see, this world is a battleground between supernatural good and supernatural evil, between God and the devil. And every bit of this world is being fought over by God and the devil. There's no neutrality. You see, ultimately, behind all the problems in the world, behind all the suffering, behind all the sorrow, behind all the collapsed bridges, behind all the murders, is an evil. The problems that we face in our lives, the problems that we face in our community, the problems we face in our country, the reason we have all those problems is because this world is a battleground. It's a battleground between God and the devil. You know, sometimes you read stuff which says, no, there's no such thing as evil. It's just all kind of in the mind. It's all psychological. But we know that's not true. There is such a thing as evil. There is such a thing as the devil. Don't you wish that battle didn't exist? Don't you wish that war was ended? Don't you wish that there was peace and that life wasn't a struggle and wasn't a fight? Don't you wish there wasn't the relational dysfunction that we face? Don't you wish there wasn't evil in the world? Well, the good news this morning from our passage is this. Our enemy, the devil, is a defeated foe. We're in a series on Sunday mornings looking at the book of Revelation, and we find ourselves in chapter 20 this morning with lots of bizarre images and pictures as we find all the way through Revelation. But the message this morning from this book is this. The devil is and will be defeated. One day there will be no more battle because the war will be ended because the devil will be destroyed. See, that's what this passage is all about. This passage describes the defeat of the devil and the destruction of all God's enemies and the victory of Jesus Christ and all those who trust in him. If you're a Christian this morning, then this passage tells you this about yourself. It says that if you are a Christian, if you are trusting in Jesus Christ, then no matter what skirmishes you are facing in your life, no matter what battles that you are dealing with, you now are more than a conqueror. And you will always be more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. Now, to get at that good news this morning, I want us to see three things from this passage. I want us to see the picture of Satan, the defeat of Satan, and the conquering of Satan. The picture of Satan, the defeat of Satan, and the conquering of Satan. First of all, the picture of Satan. There's two things about Satan I want us to see. The first is who he is, and the second is what he does. So who is Satan? Well, he's described in verse 2 as this, the dragon, that ancient serpent, the devil, and Satan. When God created persons in his image, he created two orders of people. He created men and he created angels. And Satan was a chief angel. You see, and what happened to Satan was this. Satan wanted to be number one. He wanted to be the boss. He wanted to usurp God's authority. The Bible says Satan became proud, and in his pride he fell from heaven and took loads of angels with him. We call them demons. And there's loads of demons in this world now. And we can't get away from them. We are in a battle. And in that battle, there are two sides, and everybody is on one of those two sides. Revelation talks about it in these terms. It says that you either have the mark of the devil, the mark of the beast, or the mark of Jesus Christ. Martin Luther put it like this, that the soul of men and women, the souls of men and women are like beasts ridden either by God or the devil. We're either under God's authority or the devil's. Now, we're not to think that those two authorities are equal, because the devil has been created. God has all authority and all power. That's who Satan is. But what does he do? Well, Satan wants to destroy God's loving rule. And he wants to do that by getting us to worship other things than God. And it doesn't matter what those things are. They could be bad things or they could be good things. But the devil wants us to worship anything other than God. And the way he tries to enlist us in worshipping something other than God is by lying. We see that in the passage. Three times in the passage it talks about the devil deceiving or wanting to deceive people. You see, the devil's main strategy to get us to worship something other than God is through lying. He wants you to believe lies. Lies about God, lies about yourself, lies about other people, lies about the world, so that you wouldn't worship God, but you would worship other things. Now, those lies might be something simple. They might be as simple as, I'm too bad to be forgiven. They might be lies like, God could never love me. There might be lies like, I need to be good in order to please God and go to heaven. And those lies show themselves in lots of different ways, and we're tempted to believe them. That's the way the devil works, and that's the way he's always worked. Back in the Garden of Eden, that's what he did with Adam and Eve. The devil appeared in the Garden of Eden as a serpent, and he said to Adam and Eve, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? See, right back in the Garden of Eden, the devil spreads lies about God. And he's basically saying to Adam and Eve, God's a meanie. God doesn't want you to be happy. God doesn't want good things for you because God doesn't really love you. That's what the devil has always been doing. And when we believe those lies, they destroy our lives. They keep us down. They keep you from joy. They keep you from contentment. They ultimately enslave us. But this passage tells us that the devil, that deceiver, with all his lies, has been defeated. That's the second thing I want us to see, the defeat of Satan. And there's three steps in this passage, to the defeat of Satan. First of all, verses 1 to 3. In these verses, we have this fantastic picture. An angel comes from heaven, holding the key to the bottomless pit, that is hell. He grabs hold of Satan, like you would a vicious dog, and throws him into the pit and locks the door, and he's bound for 1,000 years. Now, Satan is in that pit and can have an influence within that pit, but his influence is now limited. He's bound, and he's bound so that his lies will not deceive the nations anymore. Now, this binding of Satan happened when Jesus first came into the world 2,000 years ago. You see, when Jesus came into the world, he came to bind Satan. That is, he came to bring truth that will get rid of Satan's lies. And that happened through the cross. See, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died to disarm the rulers and the authorities, to put them to open shame. See, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died, he destroyed the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. Because when he died on the cross, he destroyed sin in himself. We've already seen that this morning in our catechism, where Jesus took upon himself our sins and was crushed for our sins at the cross, so that we can be freed from sins, so that we can have life through him. And so that message of life can go out through all the world, so there can be light in the darkness, so that we can hear this wonderful message of God's love for us in Christ, and the chains of sin can be broken. Jesus is the ultimate bolt cutter that can cut the chains that bind you down, that can bring light into your darkness, hope into your despair, freedom into the oppression that you feel and experience. Since Jesus came, that message of hope has gone throughout the world. And God has been bringing people from every nation and tribe and tongue into his kingdom. His elect from every nation have been gathered in and are being gathered in. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Satan was defeated when Jesus came, but Satan is defeated now. That's what verses 4 to 6 tell us. You see, where is Jesus Christ now? Jesus Christ is in heaven. He's reigning over this world. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. And he reigns as the judge of the world. He reigns in glory and in majesty. And he reigns for 1,000 years. That 1,000 years is a symbolic term referring to the time between Jesus' first coming and his second coming. All the numbers in Revelation are symbolic, and that's symbolic. And Jesus reigns throughout that time. Throughout the history between Jesus' first coming and when Jesus will return, he reigns. He rules. And the good news is this, that if you're a Christian, you will reign and rule with him as well. You see, in these verses, we're told about two groups of people. The first are those who've been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God. It's talking about martyrs. You can picture a martyr in the first century. Maybe somebody who's been thrown to the lions in the Colosseum in Rome. Maybe somebody who is actually being executed by the Romans, having their head cut off for being a Christian. And you can picture them having their head put on a block and a sword being drawn. They're about to lose their life. But here we're told that those people who lost their lives for being Christians, who lost their lives for telling people about Jesus, as soon as they die, will be with Jesus in heaven, reigning and ruling with him until he returns. But it's not just the martyrs. We're also told that those who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands, they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. It's not just martyrs who will reign, but if you're a Christian, you will reign as well when you die. You see, for a Christian, death isn't the end. It's the beginning of life with Christ reigning and ruling over the universe. You know, maybe you've not been threatened with martyrdom as a Christian. Maybe it's only snide comments from friends, comments from members of your family. Maybe you've suffered by missing out on promotion. Those few years of suffering that we experience now are nothing compared to the glory that awaits as soon as you die. See, Jesus said to his followers, "You'll be hated by all men for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish." See, the moment that you die, you will be with Christ in glory. reigning and ruling over this world. You may have nothing in this life. There's been Christians who've been so downtrodden, they have nothing and have had nothing in this life. But the moment they die, they are kings. They are priests reigning with Christ forever. Satan is defeated now. But Satan will be defeated one day. In verses 7 to 10, we look ahead to the future. There is a future time when Satan will be released from his prison. There will be a last battle when all the enemies of God will be gathered together. From the four corners of the earth they will come in order to battle against Jesus Christ. But they will be destroyed, and so will Satan. We're told here he'll be cast into a lake of fire and sulfur where the beast and the false prophet were, and they'll be tormented day and night, forever and forever. Sometimes people say, why doesn't God deal with all the evil in the world? Why doesn't he deal with the suffering and the pain? Why doesn't he get rid of evil once and for all? Well, it's coming. It's going to happen. There is coming a day when once and for all, God is going to get rid of the devil. When God is going to get rid of evil. When God is going to destroy everything that destroys his wonderful world. See, history is not cyclical. We sometimes think of that, like the circle of life, that history goes round and round in circles. It's not like that. History is moving towards a point. It's moving towards an end. And that end is the destruction of Satan and the defeat of evil. There will be no more lies. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more suffering because there will be no more Satan. But finally, we see the conquering of Satan at the end. In verses 11 to 15, we have a picture of Judgment Day. There's a great white throne. And on that great white throne is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is judging in holiness, in purity, in righteousness. And three things will happen on that day of judgment. There'll be a resurrection of all people. And that resurrection won't just be a spiritual thing, it will be a physical thing. Our bodies and souls, we are made of body and soul, will come back together, and every person who has ever lived will be resurrected and will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Then there'll be a judgment. Books will be opened, we're told. And those books have a record of the way we have lived our lives. There'll be a judgment according to what we've done. But then there'll be a separation. You see, Jesus judges justly. And the punishment, as we have heard, for sins is death. And so there is a lake of fire. A lake which is symbolic of torment, pain, separation from God and suffering. Now the question for us is this. How do we know that that won't be the place that we'll end up? Because we've all sinned. If the book of the deeds that you have done was to be read, then you would deserve to be punished. But there is another book that is opened, and it's the book of life. The book of life, its full title is The Book of Life of the Lamb Who Was Slain. See, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, has died. He has died for our sins. He was punished for all that we have done. That book of deeds, which is full of the sins that you've committed, was placed and nailed to the cross when Jesus Christ died. And so because he suffered and died for your sins on the cross, God cannot punish sins twice, otherwise he'll be unjust. And so if your names are written in the book of life, if your sins have really been removed, then on that final day you will not be judged and cast into the lake of fire. Instead, you will be part of the new world, a renewed and transformed creation. Because through the Lamb of God, through Jesus Christ, you will have conquered sin, conquered death, conquered Satan himself. How do you know? How can you be fully sure that your name is in the book of life? How do you know if you are more than a conqueror? Well, the question this morning is this: do you believe in Jesus? Because we're told in the book of Revelation that the way to conquer is through the blood of the Lamb and through the word of your testimony. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Have you looked to the cross of Jesus Christ? Have you seen him there dying for your sins, being punished in your place? Have you looked to him? Have you seen that through him there is forgiveness for whatever you have done? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you think you can forgive yourself for what you've done. It doesn't matter whether anyone else can forgive you for what you have done. If you are looking to Jesus Christ, then he has forgiven you for what you have done. And so you are more than a conqueror. And you're more than a conqueror because it doesn't matter what happens to you in life. Because whatever happens to you, God will work for your good. You are on the winning side now. You will be on the winning side on that last day. Because Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, takes away the sins of the world and has taken away your sins. Judgment Day is not a day for us to be concerned about and worried about if we're Christians. It's a day for us to rejoice over. Because on that day, all evil will be defeated. All the stuff that gets you down will be gone. And you'll have life forever and forever. You are more than a conqueror through him that loved us. Let me pray. Father, we get so tired and weary in this life at just fighting against sin, fighting against the devil. Lord, we thank you there's coming a day when we'll have to fight no more. We thank you there's coming a day when every knee will bow before the Lord Jesus Christ, when the devil and all evil will be cast away. We thank you that there's coming a day when we will reign with him on this new world forever and forever. Lord, help us to look forward to that day. And help us to see that because we're trusting in Jesus now, that no matter what happens to us, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.